A reading from the book of Revelation. God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant could be seen in the temple. A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon beneath her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was with child and wailed aloud in pain as she labored to give birth. Then another sign appeared in the sky. It was a huge red dragon with 7 heads and 10 thorns, and on its heads were 7 diadems. Its tail swept away a third of the stars in the sky and hurled them down to the earth. Then the dragon stood before the woman about to give birth, to devour her child when she gave birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child, destined to rule all the nations with an iron rod. Her child was caught up to God and his throne. The woman herself fled into the desert, where she had a place prepared by God. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have salvation and power come, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his anointed one." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Queen stands at your right hand, arrayed in gold. The Queen stands at your right hand, arrayed in gold. The Queen takes her place at your right hand, in gold of daughter, and see, turn your ear. Forget your people and your father's house. The Queen stands at your right hand, arrayed in gold. So shall the King desire your beauty, for he is your Lord. The Queen at your right hand, arrayed in gold. They are born in with gladness and joy. They enter the palace of their King. The Queen stands at your right hand,
reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead came also through man. For just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life, but each one in proper order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to his God and Father, when he has destroyed everything, sovereignly, and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he subjected everything under his feet. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
up to heaven, a chorus of angels exalt. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed, and what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm, and has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the 4th century, during the reign of the Roman Emperor Constantine, the church emerged from the widespread persecution that had haunted its earliest days. Beginning with the construction of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in 336, sites that had been made sacred by the life, passion, and death of Jesus began to be reclaimed by the early church. Where pagan temples once stood, Christian memorials began to rise. One of those, on a hill close to Mount Zion, was called the Place of Dormition, and it commemorated the falling asleep, or Domitio, of the Mother of God. Later to become the Feast of the Assumption, which we celebrate here today, it was the memory of Mary that was being celebrated at that site. That memory, dating back to the earliest Christians, commemorated not only the death or falling asleep of Mary, but the belief as well that she was taken up, body and soul, into heaven when her earthly life had ended. Bolstered by the testimony of the early church, by centuries of religious support from around the globe, and by the universal support of the bishops of the church in the last century, Pope Pius XII in 1950 infallibly proclaimed the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary as a doctrine of the faith. On November 1st, just 60 years ago, Pope Pius declared in his encyclical, Munificentissimus Deus, that it is a dogma of the Church that the Immaculate Mother of God, the ever-Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. As a dogma, The assumption is a required belief of all Catholics. Anyone who publicly dissents from the dogma, Pope Pius reminded, has fallen away completely from the divine and Catholic faith. While there is no direct evidence for the assumption of Mary into heaven, this dogma is supported by the constant tradition of the Church and reflects events recorded in Scripture as well. In the Old Testament, Enoch and Elijah shared the privilege of being taken directly to heaven. And in the New Testament, Matthew records an event in which the bodies of saints were raised from their tombs after the resurrection of Jesus. But the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary deals with the Mother of God. Because this feast celebrates the life of Mary, it makes sense to examine this privilege in light of our understanding of Mary's role in God's plan for salvation. Luke points to Mary as the favored one, revealing that Mary is filled with God's grace. She was granted the privilege of a sinless birth, and to understand the reason for this, we need only look at the passage from the book of Revelation and the gospel that we heard today. Mary is revealed as the New Testament Ark of the Covenant in today's apocalyptic reading from the book of Revelation. Many understand her to be the woman clothed with the sun, the mother of a male child who is to do battle with evil and destined to rule all nations, caught up with God and the throne. In the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant was sacred, the holiest object for the people of Israel. In it was kept the staff of Aaron, manna from the desert, and the tablets of the law, the Ten Commandments. It was covered with gold, inside and out, and it represented God's presence among his people. In its construction and in its use, it was a model of perfection, since to the Israelites, it was God's home on earth. In the sixth chapter of the second book of Samuel, King David danced before the ark. The Greek word that was used to describe this dance was the same word Luke used in today's gospel to describe how the infant John leaped in Elizabeth's womb in the presence of Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus. In his presentation and choice of words, Luke points to Mary as the new Ark of the Covenant. At the same time, Elizabeth reinforces the truth that Mary is to be the mother of God. Blessed are you among women. How does it happen that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth asks. So even before Christ's birth, Mary was seen as the mother of God. She was the sacred vessel that bore within her the living word of God. Not the Old Testament word of God that had been etched on tablets of stone, but the eternal, life-giving word of God who would lead countless souls to the Father through Mary's cooperation in God's plan for salvation. Also, from a relational standpoint, it was only natural that Mary should be assumed into heaven and avoid the natural corruption of the body that each one of us faces. What son would not preserve his mother from such corruption if he could? And Jesus could. Many of you are probably aware that Pope John Paul II had a special devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. His was not a misplaced piety that raised Mary on a pedestal that towered even above God. His was a piety that could establish Mary's place in the Church in a proper perspective for all of us. John Paul revered Mary because it was through her that he could better understand and come to know Jesus. We must always remember that it is God that we worship and no one else. But while not worshiping her, we hold in highest reverence that person who is the example of perfect obedience, who intercedes for us before her Son, and who accepted her role in salvation history. At the end of the gospel, we heard the words of the Canticle of Mary, of the Magnificat. Mary acknowledged the grace she received and recognized that from this day all generations will call me blessed. But her prayer focuses not on her accomplishments and blessings. It focuses on God. Listen again to some of the words. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy. That is the message that we ultimately need to hear, the message praising God from the lips of Mary. We rejoice in knowing and having Mary as our mother. We give thanks for the gift of Mary as mediator and intercessor. We rejoice in the hope of the resurrection that the assumption of Mary provides to each one of us. We look for her consolation and her strength in facing earthly challenges. But most importantly, we appreciate the example she has given us, her reliance on God as her Savior, and her dedication to accept whatever he asks of her, even when she may not fully understand. Remember what Mary told the stewards at the wedding feast at Cana when the wedding party ran out of wine? Do whatever he tells you, she said. It was what Mary did when she was called upon to be the mother of God. Let that be our guide as well in the way that we live our lives, in the way that we hear God's message in our lives, and the way that we choose to respond to it. Let us hear the words of Mary to the stewards, to do whatever he tells you, as we celebrate this feast day of Jesus' very special mother.